On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools, empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150 here in the Seattle area, WBLQ in Connecticut, New York, and Rhode Island, cable radio network across the United States, 35 stations in Australia, and transformation talk radio around the world. I'm so glad you've joined me here today. You're going to be happy you did. If you've ever been in love, if you have ever been in a relationship that had difficulties, you're going to want to stay tuned into this. But first, I'd like to say hello to Taylor. Hello, Taylor. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. You're here for Benny.
I am, yeah. Benny, this is my last hour covering for Benny, as he will be returning home on Monday from the National Softball Championship. So hoping his team comes back with some sort of championship.
And he seems to do this every year.
Yes.
And it's funny, too, because his vacation is a very busy vacation. My idea of vacation, Taylor, is to go lie on a beach somewhere. He gets really busy and plays softball.
I know, yeah. See, his vacation is working more. So,
right.
Yeah, gotta love Benny, though. So, yeah, hopefully he brings home the title for everyone here at KKNW.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, Taylor, I have such respect for what you and Benny do in the studio. The technological aspects of this, I'm always very impressed by. And I have to tell you, I did my first teleseminar this week.
Oh, yeah?
And you know, my office manager, Peggy, she had, you know, chosen the technology, and we had to do a bunch of test runs and all this stuff. And it's, you know, I've taught many around the world. I've been on radio shows of, you know, other radio shows. I've been on television. It's not the talking in front of people that gets me. It's the, whoops, what button do I push now?
Uh-huh.
And how do I tell if somebody's got their hand raised? So I've got such great respect for the juggling act that you guys do.
Well, thank you.
So thank you for doing what you do so our listeners can hear my wonderful guest today.
Yes, and it's easy when you have a host like Christine who makes it nice and easy for the board ops on getting the show produced.
Okay, well, thank you. That's so nice. And, you know, I am happy to be doing the show. And this is a really important topic today. And it's a topic that, in some sense, people in the psycho-spiritual realm talk about a little bit, but it, unless you're like deep in the psychotherapy realm, it doesn't get discussed enough, and it's really, really important for our own spiritual development, I think, is to develop in the relationship realm. And my guest today is a wonderful author. Her name is Linda Carroll. She has had a couples therapy business for, gosh, I think 3.5 decades now, for 35 years. She teaches workshops throughout the United States, and she's a regular guest speaker at Rancho La Puerta in Tecate, Mexico, several times a year. She lives in Corvallis, Oregon, with her veterinarian husband and their Jack Russell Terrier. She has 5 children and 10 grandchildren, and I have to tell you, after reading much of her book, she has been in the trenches with relationship issues. I'm so grateful to have her here today, Linda Carroll. Welcome, Linda.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be on your show.
Oh, it's so great to have you here. You know, I love what Ariel Ford said. Now, everybody knows who Ariel Ford is. She said, an incredible book. It should be required reading for everyone who plans to fall in love and wants to stay in love. And then Jennifer Loudon, she's been a guest on the show here. I absolutely love her. She says, Linda Carroll's wisdom is so direct and radiant. It has inspired me to tend my relationship in a deeper, more mature way. That's heavy-duty praises for this book, Love Cycles, The 5 Essential Stages of Lasting Love, which I guess is your third book, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. So what inspired you to write this book, Linda?
So this is what happened. I was on an airplane, and I was going to give a keynote somewhere about relationships, because that's what I was talking about. That's what I love to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't have anything in place about cycles, but I talked about it in a variety of ways. And I read one of those, sort of a Dear Abby thing in an airline. Mm-hmm. It was in one of those airline magazines. And
right.
It was a column, and someone wrote in and said, "Dear so-and-so, I'm not in love with my husband anymore. What should I do?" And the person who was writing the column wrote back and said, "Obviously, the relationship is over. You should get a divorce." Uh-huh. Well, uh-huh. When I read that, I was so distraught, and I went into the talk. And usually when I give any kind of a talk, I kind of start with where I'm at. You know, uh-huh. I have something I talk about. People love hearing about relationships in all kinds of forms, but I usually just begin with something authentic. And so I said, "I'm distressed about this," and this is what I read. And then it was an amazing thing. What happened is I kind of spoke the book without even knowing. Somebody said, "Well, what was it that upset you so much?" I began to just talk about cycles, and mm-hmm. That talk that I gave was, I think, one of the best talks I've ever given, and it just kind of came mm-hmm. out of me. It wasn't prepared. I said, you know, everything is in cycles in our lives. We have cycles for basketball players and actresses and seasons. There are cycles for growing food. There are cycles developmentally. You know, who you were 10 years ago is not who you are now. And mm-hmm. relationships are cyclical, and there are in long-term relationships, there's some tough winters. I think we have such an attachment to the way relationships are at the beginning that it's hard mm-hmm. to allow them to go through what they need to go through to get seasoned to something even better. And our culture mm-hmm. certainly supports that. So I think right. that this book got started on an airplane with a thought, and then, of course, it took many years to actually put it into a book. But that's the starting point.
Well, that sounds like it was a very inspired book, and it's fascinating to me. You know, I'm coming out of a very long-term marriage, and it's, you know, I really wish that I would have understood about how to weather some of these cycles. But even when you're conscious about it, it doesn't make it easy, does it?
No, of course not, because it's like you can be conscious about anything in our life, but going through the actual human experience, which has so many parts that are difficult in it and painful, that knowing about it may give us a little objectivity, but it doesn't make it okay. It doesn't make mm-hmm. it something that we like going through. And right. that, you know, that most of us even, you know, I teach this stuff, but, you know, I have my own days when I'm kicking and screaming about everything, including my relationship. Right. I just know more than I used to.
Right. So what are the love cycles?
I think we're pretty, people know about the merge. I mean, we get a lot. First of all, you can't be in this culture and not know about the merge.
Okay,
you can't
so tell us what the merge is.
The merge is when we fall in love, and it's what all these, you know, we have two kinds of love songs, and one of the kinds is about the merge. At last my love has come along. That's my favorite song, actually, Etta uh-huh. James, At Last, but it's full of trouble. That song is full of trouble as much as I love it. My lonely days are over, and you are mine uh-huh. at last.
Right.
What a setup. First of all, there is nothing more lonely than being in a relationship when it's not going well.
Mm-hmm.
My lonely days aren't over when I fall in love. They're going to have a new experience to them. And you are mine at last. That's not true. We all lose each other. You know, this is sort of sounds like a downer, but it isn't. But relationships end in tears. And it doesn't mean that that's bad or sad or wrong. But everything moves all the time. And
right.
people leave each other in different ways. So those songs set us up. My lonely days are over, and you are mine at last. Someone said to me this morning, a client said, she's 65, she's going through a divorce. She said, "All I ever wanted was a true love." I thought, all you ever wanted, you know, that's like saying all I ever wanted was a good meal. A true love is that whole idea of what it is to meet somebody and go off into the sunset it's a Disneyland concept. And
right.
in fact, we have people who we do the whole ride with, sometimes couples They spend their life together until one of them dies. And it can be rich, but it's not a free ride. It's not a free pass from pain. So
okay.
The first,
so that was the first cycle, was the merge. And we're going to have to go to a quick break. But when we return with Linda Carroll, we're going to talk about the other love cycles. Stay tuned.
Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality: an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling@smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with the author of Love Cycle, The Five Essential Stages of Lasting Love, Linda Carroll. Linda, you know, before the break, we were just beginning to talk about the five love cycles that you've defined that are just so brilliant. The first one is the merge. Can you sort of underscore for us again, like, what happens during that merging stage?
Well, we feel like we found our other half. It's mediated by hormones and chemicals, and when we see another person, we get connected to that person. It's like all of our body responds to them, and our brain chemistry changes, and we see the very best of them and the very best of us, and everything is free in that stage. You know, we are generous, our libido goes up, everything is out of this world, and you feel like you found your missing half. Mm-hmm. You've become obsessed with this person, and
it's like a drug.
It is a drug. It's got, we know what it is, you know, that we know what's in it now. Lots of people are studying it, and we can measure the chemistry of people, the brain chemistry of people in love. We see their brain changes, and that the chemistry is filled with dopamine, norepinephrine. It is a chemical that mirrors obsessional compulsive disorder. And here's the thing about it. It feels great, but we can miss red flags. That's really important. It's like sometimes we just don't see signs that say, not good, run the other way. I'll say one more thing about this, then I want to go on to the second one. But our culture teaches us through movies and songs that the strength of those chemicals is totally related to the rightness of being with another person. But that's not true. The strength of the chemicals is related to the strength of the chemicals. Sometimes when we feel that strong attraction, especially for some people, they just have a selection process problems. When you feel that chemical, run. And other times it means enjoy the ride, but don't make any permanent decisions because the chemicals wear off. Alas, we move into the second stage, which is doubt and denial. Because the doubt is, suddenly we start to wonder, what have I done? The things that we have fallen in love with, we begin to see the other side of them. And
but without that, those, you start to see have clarity, don't you?
Yeah, well, you have. Well, yes, and some of those qualities you fell in love with, you begin to find annoying. You begin to feel irritated. And as that happens, we sometimes call this the power struggle. Because now I'm back to me. I thought we were one. But I'm finding out that we're not one. And not only that, I'm finding out there are certain ways we're not even that much alike. We feel less vulnerable. Sometimes our libido goes back down and we're not so sexual. Or if we're with a partner with a high libido, they're still high libido and we're low libido. And then there's another kind of trouble that happens. And we become more conditional. You know, in that first stage, unconditional, there was big word that was around in the 90s, unconditional. Right. It's easy to be unconditional when you're stoned on this wonderful love drug. But then when you're back to your regular life and the other person is irritating you and not doing dishes the right way and forgetting to feed your dog, suddenly we become more conditional. And I call it doubt and denial because it's so hard to give up that idea of this perfect person that's going to take away my loneliness, that's going to make life wonderful. And so we deny that it's really happening, but we also start to wonder, what's wrong here? Have I made a mistake? And suddenly the world is full of happy couples, and we think something is wrong because we feel it. You know, people often come into therapy saying, I'm not in love with my partner anymore. And I often say, well, you know what? That's okay. That doesn't mean something's wrong. It just means that the chemicals have worn off. Love is a feeling. So here is the bottom line of the stages, and I'll then go to stage three. But the real bottom line is this, is that romantic love is a sentiment, and wholehearted love is a skill set. Romantic love is a feeling, and a long-term love relationship is a skill set.
Interesting. And from my perspective as an energy healer, it seems like the real love has to do with a vibration that is, there's this sense of allowing with it. It's kind of like it doesn't have those conditions.
No. Well, how can we not have conditions when we're human, though?
Yeah,
you know,
it's tough,
I think
isn't
if
it?
We know, I think love is conditional. But here's the deal: a long-term relationship has a lot of gestures and goodwill to survive that is not conditional. My husband has brought me a latte every morning for 30 years. And he brings it to me on days when he loves me, on days when he's distracted, on days when he's upset. And on really bad days, he brings me the latte, but he may put it on the other side of the bed so I have to reach to punish me for something. But he brings that latte. And that, to me, is a real love song because it's like a consistent caring. Here's a caring behavior even though we just had a nasty fight. Here's a caring behavior even though, you know, we didn't really have much to say last night to each other. So I think that those consistent behaviors carry us much more than depending on a feeling. Does that make sense, Christine?
Sure. But it goes beyond the behaviors, doesn't it?
Yeah. It goes beyond the behaviors. But how, so say more about that. when you think?
Well, you know, if he let's say he came up and he just sort of slammed the mug down on the bedside table when he was letting you know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm annoyed with you, kind of thing.
Yes, yes. Well, every day for 30 years, he's not going to give it to me with a big unconditional smile. That would be like maybe being married to the Dalai Lama, who isn't married, by the way. So, I mean, our human trouble gets in it, doesn't it, as human beings, you know? You hurt my feelings, and I'm not going to give you the satisfaction of a nice smile. But my point is that the behavior of having the other person's back doesn't have to go away, even though we go through these different cycles. But that's
right.
So the third cycle, the second cycle is doubt and denial. The third cycle is disillusionment. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard. You know, that I think it's disenchantment. Where we were enchanted in the first part, we're now disenchanted. And it's like a trance, you know, that stage one, everything is perfect. And if anybody's ever tried to talk someone they love out of a relationship where you see red flags and they don't, you know
it
doesn't go well.
Right.
What?
Right. They don't hear you. They can't hear you.
They can't hear you because everything is perfect and you just don't understand. You don't understand what the magic really is like and how wonderful they are.
Right.
And the third stage is the same, but it's got a dark shadow over it. One is golden shadow, and two is the opposite. Everything the other person does is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Everything the other person does becomes evidence. Like, what are we doing with what are we doing together? We have nothing in common. You know, how did I ever think that you were my soulmate? And that stage can be just as, in some ways, damaging as the first. Because if we make permanent decisions because we're in a season of disenchantment, that can also make a mess. Just like running off to someone in the first week because we feel this wonderful feeling that we just know we found the right person. Not a good idea. Spend some time. Find out who, you know, we need objective information to make a life partner decision. But it's also true in disenchantment. And of course, if you're in danger or your partner is doing ongoing harmful things, that's not what I'm talking about here.
Right,
I'm just
right.
talking about the feelings of, you know, what am I doing here? And what was this anyway? And was I crazy? That to me is an exploration time. It's not a time to bolt because especially, you know, the big news is that if we leave a relationship and we don't know what we've done to create the mess, guess who we bring with us to the next part of our life?
Create the same old, don't we?
Yeah, it's that wonderful book. You know, wherever you go, there you are.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever relationship you're in, your stuff is going to be in it as well as the other person's.
Right.
So getting to know what your stuff is and getting to know your part of it is a very, I think, if you can, a really important part of making a decision. That's the fourth stage about what to do. Because when you're feeling stuck and unhappy, often we just want out. But, you know, a lot of times people want out of the pain and they really don't want out of the relationship.
That's really profound there. Say that again.
Sometimes people want out of the pain. And they're stuck in a loop. And when they can do something to repair the pain, then they don't need to be out of the relationship. Now, that's not always true, but sometimes it is.
So, in other words, it's not going to help you avoid the pain by just leaving. You have to deal with your pain one way or another. So you might as well deal with your pain within it.
If you can, you know, at least find out about it. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes the relationship, you've done your dance. Sometimes it's not going to get better. But sometimes when you come out of the pain, you look at the other person and say, oh, there you are. I forgot about this part of how good it can feel.
Right.
So I'm saying don't act quickly. Take time. Do some exploration. Find out how you got to this place.
Mm-hmm.
And the decision, now see, we fall in love. That's out of our control. And I also think we can fall out of love, and that's out of our control.
Right.
But those are just feelings that come and go. I'm not saying we fall out of relationships. But, the feelings are good one day, and they're not so good the next day. And some people have high tolerances. They're very highly tolerant. I'm very intolerant. I mean, my husband, Ken, I don't really shouldn't admit this, but it's true. He could wear the wrong shirt, and I could think, what am I doing with him? I mean, but I know this about myself.
I
have this very shallow part of me that can feel that, and I can laugh at it now and say, well, you know, I go with my intolerance, and he can actually laugh at it too, which says a lot about him. Uh-huh. But you know, we have to know these things about ourselves. Some people are very tolerant, some people aren't. But the data of seeing him in a shirt that I don't like, it is a shirt I don't like, and he's very attached to it. And I, knowing that about myself, I can have objectivity and just watch myself be so judgmental in such a crazy way and move past it. But I've got to be able to own it, to acknowledge it. And part of the decision is recognizing my part of it. Decision means we can do nothing. That is a decision, you know. It's a decision to do nothing. Is to not make a move is a decision as much as to make a move. Mm-hmm. And some people stay in their stuck, painful relationships forever and do nothing. And we all know what that looks like and have been around it. And it's very painful to watch. They just sort of torture each other in silence or with words. Or we can do something like take a break or move into parallel lives, kind of stop the war, but not try to create intimacy. Yeah. We can try to leave with consciousness. And that's one of the things I say one of my sort of criticisms of some of the, and there's fabulous relationship books out there, but some of them, there's this idea that if you do four things and have three new attitudes, you're going to go off into the sunset with another person. Sometimes you can do everything, and the energy just isn't there. But, you know, when I think that if you leave a relationship, you don't just win the prize if you stay together. You can also win the prize, which is about our own wholeheartedness when you leave a relationship. Because if you can leave that relationship with some part of your heart still open, which is very, very hard, big work. But if you can do that, you leave becoming more wholehearted, and you have so much more to go into life with.
That's wonderful. And we're going to get to the fifth stage of if the decision is to stay when we return, because we have to go to a quick break. But more with Linda Carroll when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. I know you've heard my friend and colleague, John G. Sutton, on my show. Well, guess what? He is now going to be a regular each month. I know many of you have experienced John live on air and how absolutely incredibly accurate he has been. So guess what? He's going to be joining us every month. For those of you that want to find out more about John and schedule your amazing session, go to psychicworld.net. Don't forget to stay tuned and tune in for John G. Sutton on the Dr. Pat Show every month.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Galios miso dressings are delicious and made with only the finest, freshest, and all-natural ingredients. Galios miso dressings are low in fat, sugar, salt, and carbohydrates. They do not contain any artificial ingredients or any wheat, eggs, vegetable gums, or MSG. What they do contain is astonishing flavor and silky texture that can only come from using premium quality ingredients. Order online with free shipping at www.galeoscafe.com. That's GALEOSCafe.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a wonderful conversation today with Linda Carroll. She is the author of several books, including her latest, Love Cycles, The Five Essential Stages of Lasting Love. Now, Linda, you know, the first half hour you talked about that powerful merging stage, the doubt and denial, the disillusionment, disenchantment stage, and the decision stage. What is the fifth stage if we choose to stay within the context of the relationship?
Well, wait a minute. I want to change that because the fifth stage, which is wholehearted love, we can actually experience that if we don't stay. You don't just get the brass ring if you stay with another person. You get the brass ring because if you learn how to really, what love is. And I think that we're here to learn how to love. I mean,
I can't
figure out any other reason. You know, I think really it's about, I do believe that, but I think the problem with a lot of talking about that is it sounds like a sort of this pie in the sky, people walking around like I'm a 60s person. You know, I was a child of the 60s and it was all about love. And people, you know, ran off into different parts of their life with this idea that it's all about love. And I'm thinking about communes, you know, people ran off to communes. I didn't do it, but a lot of my friends did, and they ran off with their hearts open, loving each other. And within 7 years, there were lawsuits and people sort of smashing each other's trucks because the feeling, learning to love is a lifetime of work. And what that really means is that you don't get it free. You have to come up against what isn't lovable, what is hurtful, what's hard, where our heart wants to close down, and be willing to understand the difference between having our heart open, but also having good boundaries. It's even complicated there. You know, codependency is the other side of wholehearted. And so where's that line? And I think it's intention and boundaries. That's another talk. But it's not just walking around sort of with a dumb look on your face saying everything's okay. It's having a firm line. But it's a refusal to go over a certain line with your own reactivity. And so in decision, part of the decision is to use this experience to learn how to love, whatever comes out. And that means I've got to do the work on myself. In the merge, love is built on what you bring to me, what you make me feel when you're around me. Mm-hmm. But when we really learn how to love, it's being able, as Sam Keen says, who wrote the preface for my book, he's a wonderful writer and person, and he said, learning to love an imperfect person perfectly. And that can be an ex-partner as well as a current partner. It can be the person who breaks your heart. And I'm not talking about love as a simpleton feeling. I'm just talking about love as an honoring of that person.
And there's an aspect of acceptance that comes with that as well. I mean, as I've alluded to earlier, you know, I've been going in the process of separation and divorce, and it's. I came to this place where I realized I'd been playing the blame and shame game, the push away, and when I began to accept things as they were, you know, I did come to a very difficult decision, but I also made the choice. It's like, I'm going to do my best to stay in a loving place and,
fantastic.
And to be as accepting of him as is possible for me, and yeah, I have my ups and my downs with that, but part of that has really allowed me to explore my own pain and my own vulnerability and my own connection to self by staying more open-hearted to him.
So that's, you know, that's so beautiful that you're saying that. I mean, I want to say you've been listening to your own program and following your own formula to be able to do that. To walk this is very hard. And, you know, part of what you've done is surrounded yourself with the messages and the people and to be able to speak and the kind of things you do on your program, which keeps reminding you about this. So and that's so important, to listen to programs like this, to put around us the messages that we can make a choice for love. Even in hard situations, we can make that choice. Yeah. If we do travel on with the other person, then we are on a journey together to learn how to love. And I think of it as a heroic journey, that it's really a spiritual road to be with another person. And I remember my husband and I, when we started our relationship 30-plus years ago, you know, mm-hmm. we were all taken up with this idea that we're spiritual life partners and whatever that mm-hmm. means. But then then I began to find out how hard that was, you know, how difficult it really was to be on any kind of a path with anything within ourselves, because what we come up against are roadblocks, and we come up against is protections. We are wired for connection, and we're wired uh-huh. for protection. So my heart is open when you're pleasing me. When you don't please me, then it closes down. And that is I go into that a lot in my book, Love Cycles, but mm-hmm. that in Wholehearted, and I'll tell you a little bit about that, but I want to say this is a spiral. You don't get to Wholehearted and stay there any more than you get to Enlightenment and stay there. You may have a great moment on top of the mountain.
Oh, darn.
But then you come down, you've got blisters, you bought the wrong shoes, you're mad at the person who sold you the shoes, from uh-huh. the hike up to Enlightenment, you know, the car won't start. Someone broke the window. You know, we're back down into the world where we really get to practice. And Wholehearted, it's a practice. And there are skills that we need that are really important. One is to understand your part of the trouble, to mm-hmm. understand where you get triggered. Another is a skill of self-nourishing. Learning how that in stage one, I thought you were my other half. In uh-huh. stage two, as the power struggle happened, I realized you weren't my other half. Not only that, but there's a big empty space in me. In stage three, we're turned away from each other. You're not only my other half, I don't want anything to do with you. But in Wholehearted, I find out, you know what? I've got to be whole. To have to love wholeheartedly, I've got to know where I'm closed-hearted, half-hearted, where I'm cold-hearted. And there uh-huh. are places in all of us in those spots.
And that has nothing to do with the other person, does it?
No, it has. That's the secret. That has to do really with my self-work and what I need to do to fill myself. Communication skills are so important, but they're not, you know, the communication skills were... I have a class this weekend, a Love Cycles class, where I teach a lot of great skills. But that is not the bottom line. The bottom line is the self-work. And I think the wisdom traditions are where we really go in the end, which is the practices of patience, generosity, self-examination, forgiveness, empathy. You know, we can learn communication skills, and we can become great communication skills teachers. But if our intention is to use them to get our partner to see our way, then they're not real communication skills. They're manipulation skills. So what it comes back to, right, is to know ourselves and to be working in our own heart space and what that means. Humor is a part of wholeheartedness, being able to laugh. My husband and I have this great expression we say, and we'll just look at each other and say, everything. And sometimes it's everything is working. You know, we're just seamless and spending the day together. Other mm-hmm. times it's everything is an argument. You want to go to this restaurant or that? I want to go home. Well, I want to walk some more. And mm-hmm. one of us will say everything, and we'll start laughing. Because some days are each of those, it flows or it doesn't. But can we laugh at that? You know, can we accept that the seasons, that they come into a wholehearted space? Uh-huh. And, you know, as you get older, you have different kinds of challenges. You can get to a great place in your relationship, then someone's mother moves in, or someone else's parents get sick, or one of you has knee surgery, or, you know, new challenges come, and then that brings up a whole new part of us that we have to work with.
Mm-hmm. You know, before we go to break, Linda, I would love for you to share with our listeners how they can connect with you online.
Oh, sure. Okay, lovecycles.org. I have a test. There's a quiz you can take. It's free, which shows you where you are in the cycle. You can go to, you can email me from there, or I have a website, lindaacarroll.com.
lindaacarroll.com. Two R's and two L's in Carol.
And two L's with an A, or lovecycles.org. And that'll take you to the quiz page, or, and I answer all my emails. So anybody who wants to email me, I'll answer them.
Terrific. But don't go away, because more with Linda Carroll will return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to move past limiting beliefs and unconscious obstacles that are holding you back from financial prosperity? Do you want to be free from debt and that feeling of being disempowered? Mary Jane Allen is a financial healer and joy creation specialist who uses her unique set of tools included in her financial healing process to help her clients move past those beliefs and fears. For more information and to contact Mary Jane, visit her website, manifestyourlifedream.com, and begin your financial healing process today. Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Hey, do you like free stuff? The Dr. Pat Show has an amazing giveaway program doing weekly giveaways on Facebook and Twitter. Go to facebook.com/thedrpatshow and click the like button. Then go to twitter.com/thedrpatshow and click the follow button. Then you can play along and enter to win some amazing prizes. Again, that's facebook.com/thedrpatshow and twitter.com/thedrpatshow.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking with Linda Carroll, who is the author of Love Cycles. Now, Linda, you know, we got to the fifth stage of wholehearted loving that you were describing. What are some of those benefits? For those of us who are on our spiritual paths, what are some of the benefits of getting to that stage and working within that realm?
I think that the first benefit is that there's less pain. in the world. Because when you come from a whole heart, one of the things you have to know is that you can't change anybody.
Oh, that's a big one.
I think, you know, if you want to understand the serenity prayer, get in a relationship. you know, it's like to really be able to experience wholehearted, and I say that as an experience rather than as a rival place. I have to know that I am not able to change you, because right. if I can say I love you with a whole heart, but if part of that is, and I'm going to love you so that you're different, then it's not wholehearted at all. It has a manipulative quality to it. I'm going to love you so you're going to be who I want you to be, and then you can make me happy and I don't have to do my work. But to really love another being is to accept, it's not a sentimental Valentine feeling. It has to do enormously with acceptance. You are what you are. And you are who you are, and you're on your own. You know, I love that expression, that 12-step, you can't be anyone else's higher power. I don't know the right thing for you. Uh-huh. And I can feel my experience of it. I can be annoyed, or I can feel my judgment come. But in fact, I'm not going to make you different. So part of that, there's less pain, because it means I can stay over in my space, in my sort of sacred hoop, as Angelus Arian used to say, that my wholeness is in me. And it means less reactivity, because if I accept you and you're having a bad day, I don't have to personalize it. I don't take it on. You know, it's your bad day. Part of loving wholeheartedly is, and not having to fix somebody, is having the great, the great privilege of not having to change you. Mm-hmm. That's one advantage of it. Less pain.
So if you come to this place of accepting the other and not feeling like you need or have to change that person, how does that relate to how we feel about ourselves? Does that automatically help us to accept ourselves more too?
I think it does. But I just want to say one thing too. First of all, is that I really believe this, and I work really hard at it. And I've had great teachers, and I've written about it. But, you know, last night when I came home and my husband had taken the sheets out of the laundry and put them on the bed and didn't fold them, I was so mean. I said, I can't believe you'd leave these sheets like this. I just came home. The sheets are why couldn't you fold the sheets? I mean, he just had this huge surgery, and he was, you know, he's a vet, and he was tired. But it's like I can know all this. But I was exhausted from travel, and I came home, and I sort of went for him about something so stupid, like who cares if the sheets are folded, and that has become something we've been talking about, that, and you know, and I just said I'm so sorry, you know, he's so patient in so many ways with me, but you know, I want to make that point that it's not an arrival place, that I have to have a certain kind of compassion with myself about this too, and you know that. We don't just get there and walk around with a dumb smile saying yes and bless you. You know, we still have our natures that come up. So I think that's
really important for people who are on their spiritual path to understand us, because I think that there have been some people who have been sold a bill of goods that say, if you're spiritual, then you're going to behave in a particular way. It's going to be all love and light. And if you fall out of that, then you are not being spiritual.
Right, but I think what's being spiritual is accepting our human nature. Mm. You know, we are human beings. We are spiritual beings learning to be human. I love that quote. Not human beings. So I think we are already spiritual. That our job to really be on that path is to accept our humanness and other people's humanness, and to accept that some of that, you know, on certain days is not so beautiful, and that we can be mean spirited. And we can be petty, and that doesn't mean we're not spiritual. It means that we're human, and what do we do with that once we see it? That's the question, not do we ever go there.
Mm-hmm. And I think inherent in what you've been talking about, getting to this stage of wholehearted loving, requires a certain amount of awareness, you know, this concept of looking at ourselves from beyond ourselves, and right. understanding, like, I'm being petty right now. I'm not, you know, as opposed to just sort of being in the midst of the difficulties, we can actually see how ridiculous we're being or see how,
yes.
you know, the pain that we're in, as opposed to just being in the pain.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's the witness. That's what all spiritual traditions teach us about in lots
right.
of different ways. And I think to be in a wholehearted path, you've got to have a practice of some kind, some way that you ground yourself into the bigger reality, whether you have a meditation or prayer or art or singing or mm-hmm. whatever that is that people do. Is a yoga is a way to keep finding our center over and over, because you're going to get thrown off. So the spiritual path doesn't mean you arrive, but it means that you find ways to keep grounding yourself, to keep putting yourself in back in touch with, you know, that the part of you that can have the compassion. And I think in wholehearted love, partners do this a lot of the time together, mm-hmm. and sometimes not together. Sometimes finding wholeness means I have to go off and do something else. I have
right.
to go off and find myself in a different way. And, you know, we're not one being. So, I love this. I love Harville Hendrix, who is the great Imago therapist, who's so marvelous.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
He has this wonderful quote. He says, when we fall in love, it's we two are one. And when we go into the power struggle, it's we two are one and I'm the one. And I take it further into that and say, when we get to wholehearted, is we two are not one. You're I'm me, and where we come together, sometimes there's a third. You know, that I-thou model of sometimes uh-huh. that we create almost a third body between us, a third essence between us, but mm-hmm. we're not one. And that is the merge. That's the wonderful, beautiful stage that we don't, if we're wise, make decisions from. We just enjoy the ride. But we know that's not wholehearted. That's something
yeah.
else. Maybe that shows us what it can be like, but we've got to do the work to get there, to really
mm-hmm.
arrive there.
That inner work is so important.
Yeah.
And I know it's wonderful to have a guidance along the way. You know, the inner work is our own, but to have a therapist or a workshop leader or an author help guide us. Can you share with our listeners how they can connect with you so they can find their way to your workshops and your books?
Lovecycles.org, lovecycles.org. And if you go on there, what you'll see is there's a quiz you can take to find out where you are in this five-cycle journey, and you can contact me there. The book is everywhere. I think it's in bookstores, and it's on Barnes & Noble, Amazon. You can also get me at my other website, lindaacarroll.com. It's CARROLL, lindaacarroll.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy to hear from people, hear your responses to the book, and I answer my emails. So it may take me a while, but I answer them all.
And you're going to be coming to the Seattle area October 23rd, correct?
Yes, I'll be at Third Place Books, and at 7 o'clock, I'll be talking about this. I'll be doing some reading, signing books on October 23rd on Thursday at 7 p.m.
Great. And I will be there, too, because I'd love to meet you in person and hear more about what you have to share. I love your book. I'm actually very interested in reading your other books as well. And your other books, let's see, I had the titles up here a minute ago.
One is called Remember Who You Are, and one is called Her Mother's Daughter, which is a
memoir. Her Mother's Daughter, yes.
Yeah.
And yes, and you happen to be the mother of a very famous woman,
right?
Courtney Love.
Yeah,
which
that's right.
I'm sure has been quite an adventure and learning experience in and of itself.
Quite an adventure.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me here today, Linda.
Yes, you're so welcome. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Wonderful. And thank you for joining us here today on the Christine Upchurch Show. Please join me here again next week. I'm going to be having Robert Forman back. We got rave reviews the last conversation. Hope to talk to you then.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.